This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Emotional testimony at the Idaho sentencing hearing for a woman convicted of murder. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Lori Vallow Daybell faces up to life in prison without parole for the murders of two of her three children, as well as the killing of a romantic rival. Vicki Hoban is the aunt of the woman Daybell killed.
Tammy was robbed of her entire life, and all of her family robbed of ever seeing her again. Never will she whisper a joke with a friend and laugh. Never see another sunrise or a sunset.
A judge in St. Anthony, Idaho, is hearing victim impact statements before sentencing Daybell.
And there's court action today in Florida. For Carlos De Oliveira, a Mar-a-Lago employee charged last week in the Trump classified documents case. In Georgia, meantime, a judge stopped a Trump bid to try to remove the prosecutor from the election case there. The White House is recommending changes to a surveillance law that's come under fire, as we hear from CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, Section 702, permits the U.S. government to collect digital communications of foreigners outside the U.S. But some Republicans and Democrats are concerned it's been used against Americans, including some individuals arrested during the January 6th riots. They want major reforms, and the White House has now agreed, so the law can be reauthorized.
Overseas, CBS's Elaine Cobb has the story of a deadly terror attack in Pakistan.
The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for a suicide bombing that killed dozens in northwestern Pakistan Sunday. ISIS issued a statement on its website saying a suicide attacker detonated his explosive vest in the middle of a crowd. 54 people were killed in the attack on a rally for a hardline cleric and politician.
Well, civil rights groups in Alabama have asked a judge to reject a Republican-drawn congressional district, saying it does not meet a court mandate for a second black-majority district in the state. The NAACP's Stuart Nafee.
In analyses conducted by our expert and also by the legislature itself, looking at past elections, the candidates that black voters overwhelmingly support essentially never win in this supposedly opportunity district.
A new reactor at a nuclear power plant in Georgia began commercial operation this morning. It's the first new American reactor built from scratch in decades. Checking Wall Street, a mixed bag right now. The Dow is down about 1 point. The NASDAQ is up 15. The S&P is up 1 point. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Now,
find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Investigators are looking into two crashes at the EAA Air Venture Convention in Oshkosh over the weekend that killed four people. More from Pete Schwabe.
On Saturday morning around 9 a.m., a plane crashed into Lake Winnebago, taking the lives of both passengers, 20-year-old Zach Colomarino and 30-year-old Devin Riley. Then about 12:30 p.m. on EAA grounds, a mid-air crash involving a helicopter and a gyrocopter left two more dead and two hospitalized. The victims, 69-year-old pilot Mark Peterson and passenger 72-year-old Thomas Voles, were both in the helicopter. EAA spokesman Dick Napinski says the National Transportation Safety Board will investigate both crashes. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Virtually all the drinking water in Wisconsin passes the latest test with flying colors, but there's a catch. The Department of Natural Resources report for last year says more than 99% of local water systems in Wisconsin meet all health standards for lead, nitrates, bacteria, and other chemicals. But there was no official DNR test for PFAS chemicals last year. The DNR says that will change for this year's test, and the results will come out next year. The Wisconsin Supreme Court shifts from conservative to liberal once Justice Janet Protasiewicz is sworn in tomorrow, but one justice says that people shouldn't make assumptions about how the court may change. Brian Hagedorn was on WISN-TV's Upfront program this weekend.
I get there's a lot of political noise and a lot of people want what they want out of the court, but I think it's incumbent upon us to show that we are going to, you know, act like a court and not just do whatever the political chatterers want on either side.
The court is expected to take up abortion, political maps, and voting rules in the coming months. Vice President Kamala Harris visits Wisconsin this week. Here's Stuart J. Waddles with a preview.
The details about Kamala Harris's trip to Pleasant Prairie and Milwaukee Thursday aren't yet known, but she will be appearing with the Commerce Secretary to highlight investment in broadband and affordable connectivity. It's expected traffic on I-94 between the two cities will be impacted during the vice presidential visit. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
The vice president's visit is part of an August travel blitz by the Biden cabinet and senior White House officials to promote what the administration calls its Investing in America agenda. They're highlighting efforts to bring down health care costs, invest in clean energy, and rebuild infrastructure. Wisconsin's childcare industry could be in big trouble if policymakers don't do something this year. The Childcare Count subsidy program is funded mostly with federal COVID relief money that will run out in January. Governor Evers says the industry and working families need more than what Republicans have been offering.
The only thing I've seen so far is they're willing to remove taxes from diapers. Not that that's unimportant, but that pales as compared to having high-quality child care for every child that wants it.
Republican lawmakers, meanwhile, have formed a working group to develop bills to address child care, and Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is suggesting tax breaks for businesses that pay for their employees' child care. A Waukesha judge is dismissing a Republican lawsuit over military voting lists. The judge says they improperly named the Wisconsin Elections Commission as the defendant instead of an election official. State Representative Janelle Branchon and others sued in November to stop counting absentee military ballots. That was after a Milwaukee elections official illegally sought and got absentee military ballots to prove a point about voting insecurity. That's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell.
For WCFW 107.7 FM and the Tap FM 93.5, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Nobody is hurt after a house fire in Chippewa Falls on Saturday. The Chippewa Falls Fire Department said that a cat and a dog were rescued from the fire, but no people were hurt. The fire caused about $75,000 in damage and likely started in the kitchen, according to a release. The fire damage was kept to the first floor of the home on the 800 block of Dover Street. One person is dead after a crash in Ross County on Friday. The sheriff's office said the crash happened on Highway 40 near Hutchinson Road in the town of Big Bend, or about 6 miles southwest of Bruce. The crash involved a pickup truck and a semi-truck, with the pickup driver found dead at the scene. The semi-truck driver was treated for injuries and released. The crash is being investigated. Two people charged with felony mistreatment of animals in Burnett County in May will have to pay restitution after the court accepted a plea deal. Dorothy and Gabriel Elger of Minnesota had the felony charge dismissed and instead pleaded guilty to intentionally failing to feed an animal, a misdemeanor. The pair was ordered to pay $628 in restitution. According to the criminal complaint, a veterinarian found a dead horse on their farm and said that it was extremely malnourished. Bones from another horse were also found on the farm. The case was closed earlier this month. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says 99% of public drinking water systems in the state met clean water standards, meaning the drinking water in those places met contamination standards. That being said, the DNR's report warned that aging infrastructure and environmental contamination were challenging municipal water systems and that many private well owners aren't testing for contamination. The report says nearly $140 million was awarded to 88 different communities in the state last year to help provide access to clean drinking water and to replace lead lines. And the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says the temperatures today will be pleasant, right around 80 degrees, but there is some rain in the forecast by midweek. More details next. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. After we endured an unstable and stormy week last week, things are calming down now as a high pressure parks itself over the Great Lakes and keeps our skies under abundant sunshine to kick this week off just right. High temperatures today will tap to the upper 70s to low 80s alongside a shifting east wind at 10 miles per hour. This will of course bring cooler lakeside temperatures at the Lake Michigan shores of the low to mid 70s. Tonight, mostly clear skies allow our temps to fall quite crisp into the mid-50s for the Northwoods and low 60s to the south. With the humidity lacking, the rain chances hold off until midweek on Wednesday afternoon, bringing a moderate fire danger to the southern half of the state today, including Richland Center, Madison, and Milwaukee areas. Have a marvelous Monday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers get swept in Atlanta. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers battled the Braves last weekend in Milwaukee, but it was a different story over the weekend at Truist Park in Cumberland, Georgia. The final yesterday, 8-6, in favor of the Braves, the Brewers took the lead in the top of the third when first baseman Carlos Santana, acquired in a trade over the weekend with the Pirates, went deep to right field. Jeff Levering on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Drives this one near the line. Gone for Santana. Boy, that was a missile off the bat, and the Brewers have the lead again. 13th of the year for Santana. His first hit as a Brewer is a bomb.
That was a seed.
That made it 3-2, but the Braves' Matt Olson drove in five runs, hit two homers, and that completed the sweep. Christian Yelich spoke with reporters after the loss.
You know it's going to be a back-and-forth game. We have to score and play these guys, so it's not really anything that's unexpected, but they're dangerous throughout their whole lineup, and tough 3 days, but... It's one of those things that happens. You just got to move on from it.
Think you'll see these guys again?
Hopefully. You know, that's the goal. You want to earn the right to play these guys again. You know, they're most likely a playoff team. You know, almost guaranteed to be a playoff team. So if we run into them again, we earn the right to make the playoffs and see what happens.
Milwaukee's pitchers have been solid this summer, but gave up 29 runs to the Braves in three games. Craig Counsell.
You know, they had a lot of loud contact and squared up a lot of baseballs, and we don't have off days coming up. We have off days in the month of August, so all that's going to factor into some starting pitcher decisions.
The Braves are notorious for scoring a lot of runs in that first inning. Do you think that puts more pressure on a pitcher going in there?
Well, their offense is good, period, so their offense puts pressure on you every inning.
The Brewers have placed Julio Teheran on the 15-day IL with a hip injury. They expect Wade Miley back this Wednesday. The road trip continues tonight in Washington against the Nationals. The Reds shut out the Dodgers in L.A. 9-0 to take a half-game lead back in the NL Central. The Cubs' 8-game winning streak was snapped with a 3-0 loss in St. Louis. NFL, Jonathan Taylor says he wants the Colts to trade him. The former Wisconsin Badger is at odds with Colts owner Jim Irsay over his comments about the value of running backs in the league and getting his own contract extension. The Bengals have signed another backup quarterback now that Joe Burrow could miss the rest of camp with a calf injury. Packers quarterback Jordan Love was on the NFL Network.
Being a Green Bay Packer, there's always very high expectations from the organization, from the guys who've been here before. We have a young team, but I look at it as a fresh start.
And after three seasons, the Packers released linebacker Jonathan Garvin, even though about 3 hours before, the team's social media department had wished Garvin a happy birthday. On Twitter, Matt LaFleur.
You know, unfortunately, it's just sometimes it's time to move on, and I know I understand the timing wasn't great in terms of it being his birthday, but you guys know this business never stops.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for sunshine and a high near 83. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 59. Mostly sunny with a high of 86 on Tuesday. For Tuesday night, slight chance of a shower, otherwise mostly cloudy, mid-60s. For Wednesday, scattered thunderstorms, otherwise mostly sunny with a high of 88.
Currently, 75 degrees.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Today, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined on a Monday by Mr. Luke Mathers in studio. Luke, how you doing today, this fabulous Monday afternoon?
I'm doing well, Will. Having some fun here on a Monday. Glad to be with you on the airwaves. Right now, it's one of those weird times of the year where we've got kind of a little bit of a buzz starting for football. The sales team here at Civic Media selling some of those Green Bay Packers sponsorships for one of our brand new stations in the Civic Media Network, WRJN, down in Racine and Kenosha. We got the fantasy football kind of projections, talking, just rumblings. If you're drafting already, I feel bad for you because it's way too far out.
You only got the fantasy football stuff if you haven't been paying attention all year, my friend. That is a 12-month year.
Yeah, I got to check out. But I had keepers due over the weekend, so I was checking back in for a little bit, trying to see. I get Christian Watson for like a 23rd round pick or something like that. It's insane. It's a weird keeper league, dude. I didn't.
23 rounds?
There's 24 rounds total, and we have to draft IDPs. It's a whole thing. It's a keeper league. There's way too much effort goes into
IDP.
It. I have to put so much focus on it only for mediocre results. Like, I finish the middle of the pack almost every single year, and it's just too much to focus on. But I'm trying to do my best, trying to be competitive. I'm getting a top offensive weapon for the Green Bay Packers really late because of an investment that I put in last year. So it's a weird time of year right now. We got the Brewers, unfortunately, getting swept by the Atlanta Braves down in Atlanta, but hoping they can turn things around against Washington later today, and just focusing here on the headlines. It's August tomorrow. Tomorrow is August, Will. That is so wild to think about.
Oof. Well, first of all, Luke, it sounds like you need to pull a Green Bay and maybe go that full-on rebuild at this point, right? There's nothing worse than being middling of the pack year after year after year.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, it was bad last year, and I'm trying to give it some focus. But, you know, there's a couple two-tree things else going on, so it's hard to focus solely on fantasy football 365 like I guess you do.
I was going to say, my next statement was going to be, if you need any help, give me a holler, because that is something that I am quite well versed in.
Other leagues I do fine in. If it's just a check in for, but this keeper, like, you have to be aware of like what rookies are coming up, and you got to take some dark horses, and you got to take some late round picks that ultimately end up working out. And I've had success before, just not of late. And so it's
a balancing
one of those
act.
Things. Yeah.
Current talent versus future talent. Luke and I were joking actually a few days ago about, some kind of like show fantasy league, get the viewers on, and maybe we'll do like a 30-second per draft per pick draft via the air. But
friend of the show,
feasible
friend of the show, and a sponsor here at WMDX Mad Radio here in Madison, Hawk, owner of Hawk's Bar and Grill and several other neighborhood establishments like the Jade Monkey and the Atomic Koi. His suggestion was a few weeks back when we were talking about Top Chef coming to Wisconsin, is doing a fantasy draft for the contestants that will be here in Wisconsin later this year, filming the next season of Top Chef. And everybody gets to pick one of the contestants to see kind of a little fantasy Top Chef edition too. So it's something to think about in multiple facets, not just football.
You know, that's a really good idea.
TV.
That's a really good idea, though I'm not very well versed in that, so I'm a lot less likely to support it because I want to win. And I feel like fantasy football's, you know, that's right up my alley. That's something I could handle a little bit better. Aaron, we got Aaron on the ones and twos today as well. Aaron, calling you out now. How are you doing this Monday afternoon? How was your weekend?
Good. I had a great weekend. One of my friends was having his bachelor party, so I got to go all the way up to the UP. I'd never been there before, way up in Ontagonon, I think you say it. right on Lake Superior. So took a nice dip in the lake. Was a lot less cold than I thought it was going to be.
Fun.
And a bunch of other stuff.
We missed you on Friday.
You don't need to get into all the rowdy details.
I mean, it wasn't that rowdy.
Oh, it's a bachelor party that didn't get too rowdy? Okay. All right.
They had a fantasy football draft, Luke, actually. That's why they scheduled the bachelor party for this weekend. It was the only way to get everybody together for the fantasy draft.
No, the guy who's getting married is a huge history nerd, so he wanted to spend some time at like museums and stuff. So it was perfect for the individual.
All right. Good to hear. Glad that you had fun. In your absence, Will brought in a guest judge for most Wisconsin headlines of the week, and Will ended up still losing.
I still lost. Yeah, I can't seem to catch a break at this point. But to be fair, and again, this is why the fantasy football, the fantasy talk came up. Luke got the LaDainian Tomlinson story because I let him go first. Uh-huh. It was the freebie. Uh-huh. It was the first pick guaranteed to win type story. So I was feeling a little generous on Friday, Luke. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, fair enough. Whatever you say. I mean, I guess your graciousness that I was allowed to win. I guess I owe it all to you, Will. I owe it all to you, Will Walter.
You are very, very welcome, Luke. So let's get to business on this Monday afternoon, the last day of July. Wow. So, Luke, the question I have for you and the question I have for the audience today is, how do we protect family farms? I want to start reading over from a piece at Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin joins USDA partnership tackling lack of competition in agriculture food industry. The new initiative will support state attorneys general in identifying anti-competitive practices, price gouging that hurts farms and consumers. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has joined a group of state attorneys general working with federal officials on anti-competitive practices in agriculture. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced the launch of the Agricultural Competition Partnership last week. Call is one of 31 attorneys general participating in the new program, along with officials from Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, and Minnesota. Midwest shout out. This is very, very important to our region, as I'm sure most of you in the region understand, which is why we should care about it and we need to care about it. The initiative will focus on identifying market structures and practices that are hurting competition among farmers, food processors, farm suppliers, and other related industries. The program will also look for instances of price gouging and other retail practices that hurt consumers. Luke, this is something that we've heard from callers last week. We have heard pieces and stories for months and months and months now. Years, actually, if we're being honest with ourselves. Small-time farmers, mom-and-pop farmers, family farms are suffering. They are failing as big agriculture swoops in and controls the market. What can we do about it, particularly in a place like Wisconsin that has been so reliant on family farms for such a long part of our history?
Well, Will, I think, first off, I don't think we should call it failing, because a lot of these small family farms are being squeezed out of the market. It's not a good failure point. On good them. These family farms aren't failing. It has been a way of life for Wisconsinites that have chosen farming for generations, not just like decades, generations, mm-hmm. spanning generations. And
entire
so
lives,
to say yeah. that the way the system's been operating of late is a failure on the family farms, I think is the wrong way to be talking about this. And the important aspect of going after anti-competitiveness in the market is a huge aspect of being able to address and make it fairer for the family farms. Because all of a sudden, and we see this, it's not just in agriculture and in the farming industry, we see a concentration of resources and wealth and so much just going to so few. And you see that with concentrated animal feeding operations. You see it with these giant multinational conglomerates that come in and all of a sudden they can be having farms with thousands and thousands of livestock units on them. And that squeezes out the family farms that make up the image of Wisconsin. Like, they are part of the fabric of the state, just as much as the brewers, like beer brewers, not the Milwaukee Brewers team, but them too. but like the image that we have as a state, and it is vital for us to be able to have policymakers that are fighting for the family farms. And so cracking down on anti-competitive practices is going to be huge. And it's things like this that we need to see more of, because as you pointed out, Will, we've heard from callers. We had a caller when we were talking about the economy last week saying, well, I'm a farmer and I'm not seeing an increase in my perception of the economy. They were telling us stories how they're having a hard time finding workers. They're getting squeezed on prices. Anti-competitiveness, all of this, these attorneys general are going to be looking into is a huge aspect of that. Because again, when you see that concentration, people are able to charge more then. And the individuals, the smaller players in the game, are forced to then have those prices. And so when prices go up and there's only a few sellers, farmers get screwed and they can't go anywhere else because they still need the materials. They still need to be able to go about their daily lives. And so this is going to be huge, I think, when it comes to being able to protect the smaller family farms here in Wisconsin. But we want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media, talking the small family farm image the state has and what we can do to protect it. Because I don't think there's a silver bullet, Will, either. I don't think this is the one standalone thing that could all of a sudden fix all the problems. But it is definitely something in the right it's a step in the right direction for us to be able to address a problem that we've been seeing for some time now.
Yeah, and I really like the way you phrased that. And I should have been a lot more wise with my words. It is not a failure on the individual family farms themselves. This is a systemic failure as monopolies and massive corporations that have the resources, that have infinite resources and the ability to do what they want with a market. They're single-handedly so powerful that they can manipulate these markets to their long-term benefit, squeezing out the little guys. And this example, obviously, we're referring specifically to agriculture and the food industry in Wisconsin. But I think every industry in the country is really starting to see this. We're starting to see a very small percentage of the uber elite at the absolute top of every industry expanding their influence throughout their industry. And it really hurts what's supposed to be a free market economy. A free market economy is predicated on choice. It's predicated on having the ability to produce a better quality product or have customers choose you because they like what you have to offer better. But if you don't have the ability to offer anything better because you don't have access to the same materials needed for production, then how are you supposed to be able to compete with these? Josh Call specifically noted, Luke, that having only a few consolidated suppliers for certain products like seeds has had a real impact on Wisconsin farmers. You look at, you know, growing of food, what's required for that? Seeds, right? It's a universal standard. Everybody's going to have this. But if there's only one or two suppliers, they can choose to set the market as they see fit. And that's anti-democratic in all of its purposes.
Yeah, it's definitely a problem. And again, this isn't just the only thing that is affecting the farm and the agriculture industry here in Wisconsin. We are talking about the headline, Wisconsin joining the USDA efforts to crack down on the consolidation in the industry. We want to hear your thoughts on it here on Town Call. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're going to continue the conversation on the other side. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News brief. Relatives speaking out at the Idaho sentencing hearing for Lori Vallow Daybell, convicted of murdering two of her children and conspiring to kill a love rival.
You are a liar, an adulteress, and a murderer. Because of the choices you made, my family lost a beloved mother, sister, aunt, and daughter.
Court appearance in Florida for Carlos de Oliveira. CBS's Robert Costa covering the Trump documents case.
De Oliveira, the property manager at Mar-a-Lago, is facing charges including conspiracy to obstruct justice and lying to investigators.
A Georgia judge has stopped a Trump effort to try to remove the prosecutor in the election case in that state. On the Heat Watch today, the Weather Channel's Jim Cantore says Phoenix is poised to snap the record of 31 straight days, 110 or above, getting to 106.
Eventually, Phoenix, after going below 110 to about 107, we go back up above 110.
So it doesn't last long. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
For 105.7 WCFW and the Tap FM 93.5, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. No one is hurt after a house fire in Chippewa Falls on Saturday. The Chippewa Falls Fire Department said that a cat and a dog were rescued from the fire, but no people were hurt. The fire caused about $75,000 in damage and likely started in the kitchen, with fire damage kept to the first floor of the home on the 800 block of Dover Street. The fire department said that the fire is under investigation. One person is dead after a crash in Rusk County on Friday. The sheriff's office said the crash happened on Highway 40 near Hutchinson Road in the town of Big Bend, or about 6 miles southwest of Bruce. The crash involved a pickup truck and a semi-truck, with the pickup truck driver found dead at the scene. The semi-truck driver was treated for injuries and released. The crash is being investigated. The National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says today will be pleasant, with temperatures getting to around 80 degrees. We'll warm up by midweek when storm chances return. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude. Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Today we are talking Wisconsin joining the USDA partnership, tackling lack of competition in agriculture and food industry. And we got a text actually, Luke, from Oshkosh noting, farmers on the edge of town are also being squeezed by real estate. Oshkosh keeps building out and not up. The tallest building, being the UWO dorms, was built in the 70s, but the city continues to eat away at farmland. Great point. That's a great point. I mean, how do you expect these individuals to flourish when you're continually cutting into their land more and more and more? You're giving them less room to flourish. You're giving them less room to do what they need to do. It's no wonder that a lot of these systemic issues that we're seeing are rising up quite quickly. Luke, going back to the piece from WPR, I wanted to note that the National Farmers Union has launched their Fairness for Farmers campaign. This was launched 2 years ago to call on state and federal officials to enforce existing antitrust laws and work to rebalance market power between large corporations and people who are farming. The Wisconsin Farmers Union president, Darren Von Ruden, said much of the buying power within the beef industry has been consolidated to just a few companies, leaving farmers with little say over what prices they receive. Quote, when we've only got two or three buyers that are in local auction barn, you just don't have that competition like we did 15 to 20 years ago, he said. Now, he is a dairy farmer. And he said larger processing plants are also more vulnerable to the workforce shortage, including here in Wisconsin. Quote, we're starting to see that same problem in the dairy industry where we're getting less and less buyers and less processors. Plants are just getting so big that it's getting harder to make sure the workforce is there to keep the plants operating efficiently. Luke, this is something we have talked about time and time again, and we've compared how so many different industries are facing these exact same hurdles.
Yeah.
Now the question then is, what do we do about it?
The consolidation that we're seeing in many different industries is absolutely something that needs to be tackled, and having officials looking into anti-competitive practices is a very vital step. I think it's also important to point out, Will, that sometimes we see already here in Wisconsin that the agriculture, the rural image that we have as a state is then also used as a scapegoat for not addressing other problems like the one that you just alluded to, the workforce shortage. Because we know there was a study out by the Wisconsin Counties Association's policy arm, the research arm, Ford Analytics, looking into the fact that the state's going to have a 130,000 workforce shortage by the end of this decade. 7 years away from being shy, 130,000 workers. And when those reports came out, you want to know what some of the largest business groups in Wisconsin, the largest business advocacy organization, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, you want to know what they blamed for one of the reasons the state is having a hard time recruiting workers, Will?
Who did they blame, Luke? Got me on the edge of my seat.
They blamed the rural image that the state has as a reason why younger people don't want to work here. Not some of the regressive policies that we've been seeing enacted at the state level for the better part of the last decade, but instead saying, oh, well, it's the rural, it's the farming image that Wisconsin loves. That's the reason contributing to the workforce shortage that we're seeing. And reading from a piece again over at WPR, Wisconsin's image as a rural agrarian state also could be playing a role in the struggles to appeal to young people, wrote Kurt Bauer, president of the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the state's largest business association, in a 2016 trade publication. So for the past 7 years, they've been saying, oh, well, this is actually the problem. While Bauer said the state should be proud of its agriculture sector, he argued it needs to rebrand itself to better reflect a diverse economy. Economy, Will. What have some state-level politicians been beating up against over the past several months? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. But you've got the state's largest business lobbyist saying, oh, well, we need a more diverse economy because our image needs a rebrand. So it's all PR. That's what we need. We need PR.
Exactly. No, that's a great point, Luke. They say one thing out of one side of their mouth, and then out of the other side of their mouth, they're saying the exact opposite thing. They need to keep fighting the culture war, so they need to shut down DEI initiatives on our campuses, which, by the way, you know, what's bringing more young people to the state than anything else is education. UW schools are some of the best in the country, and we should be very proud of the work that the UW system has put in. And then they turn around at the same time and blame the small town charm, the rural image that a lot of people have loved about Wisconsin for years and years and years. You know, we exactly like you said, we have that that conception that we are a just lively little calm farming community. It's nice, it's safe, and it's friendly. And I don't understand how you can combine those two criticisms and expect to be taken seriously going forward when you're not offering solutions. You're simply looking for someone to pass the blame on to.
Yeah, it's a dialogue that, again, just needs to be looked at and reflected upon. You have to look to see what these organizations, these people are saying, because and what they're doing, because sometimes they don't always line up.
Action speaks significantly louder than words.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. If you want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789, talking about a piece with the Wisconsin joining the U.S. Department of Agriculture in pushing back against some of these consolidation practices the farm and food sector has seen in recent years. So one more tool, hopefully, in the tool belt to address competitive nature of the farming industry, the agriculture industry here in our state.
And Luke, I'd like to give some a little bit of context around some of the numbers. So I brought up the Fairness for Farmers Union Project website, and this is fascinating. So the four largest multinational meat packers control 54% of U.S. poultry processing, 66% of pork packing, and 85% of beef production. 85%. Now, the only four firms control 85% of corn seeds and 76% of soybean seeds. Farmers in the corn and soybean markets must sell their crops to the same four companies controlling 82% of the soybean crushing and 84% of the wet corn milling in the United States. And just four firms account for approximately 84% of the global herbicide and pesticide market. Luke, that's asinine. There is three or four companies that are controlling the entire agriculture industry in the United States. I mean, 95% of large farm tractors are made by three companies: John Deere, CNH Industry, and AG Eco. How is this competition? How is this a free and fair market when the market is essentially three, four big, you know, big conglomerates at the top, and everybody else just has to suffer with whatever they decide, whatever whims they have for that day? It's very similar to the conversation we've had on media in the past, right? How 95% of media is controlled by five or six companies in the United States. How are you supposed to realistically have competition when the competition does not exist?
Yeah. Actual competition versus the illusion of competition are two completely different things.
It's my cereal analogy that I think I've given you before, Luke, but I think it's a perfect encapsulation of Americans pride ourselves on the illusion of choice, right? You go to the grocery store and you got 50 different sugary cereals there to pick from. And it's like, oh my God, America, this is incredible. Look at how many options we have. Everything is so amazing. I can pick and choose whatever product I feel is best. Well, only two companies produce all 50 of those cereal brands. It doesn't matter which one you buy. Money's going to the same place.
I will not have this post erasure. There is more than just the big two. Come on. There's at least three.
Is there? Yeah, I feel like
Post is the third one. Yeah, that's why I said post erasure, because it'd be Kellogg's, General Mills, and then Post in a distant third.
Yeah, you're right. Very, very distant third. Hey, yes.
It's still third place. Whether it's a distant third or third, it's still third.
It depends how you look at it. If there's only three, companies in industry, then being third is still last. Yeah.
Right. How'd you do? I finished third. Oh, out of how many? Oh, three. Oh, yeah. That's not so great then. That's last.
It's better than finishing third out of two, I guess. Right.
True, could be worse. That sounds impossible. What's not impossible is giving us a phone call or sending us a text message. 844-967-2789 here on Town Call across the Civic Media Network, talking about competition in the food and agriculture industries. Up first on this Monday afternoon, we got Mark from Priority SAC calling in. Mark, what are your thoughts on this Monday afternoon?
Hey, well, you think that the whole COVID thing, thanks for taking my call, you think the whole COVID thing with the problems that the supply chain issue caused during the pandemic would have woken people up and woken up industry to maybe decentralize processing and manufacturing for some of this stuff, because if you have everything concentrated in just a few different places, it gives you less market for your product. And also, if something goes wrong, then it can go horribly wrong and cause huge bottlenecks in the supply chain. I mean, I had wonders about the whole just-in-time delivery that was coming out, really coming on big in the 80s. And the last marketing course I had was back in college, back in the very late 70s, that you brought up that a lot of manufacturers, they produce their name brand, and they also produce the off brands for the store brands and all that. It's the same stuff, it's just got a different label on it. A smart thing to do would be to, especially for Wisconsin, since dairy is still a huge thing, is to restart some of those old plants that used to be in the local communities, the dairy processing plants, so you didn't have just this monopoly of processors, and then you have a situation where they're dumping millions of gallons of milk are just getting dumped on the sewer, and and being of no use to anybody except clogging, you know, that further hampering our environment by, you know, doing something like that.
Lake Michigan's not prepared for truckloads of milk to be dumped into the municipal sewer system, essentially, in Milwaukee area, because the Port of Milwaukee couldn't take it because that raw milk had nowhere to go with the processors full. We appreciate the phone call, Mark. You could be like,
he made a great point too about bottlenecks in the supply chain. You know, if you're the one facility that produces, you know, medicine X or something, and there's a catastrophic accident, all of a sudden that medicine is not available to anyone in the country. Like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. 844-967-2789. You can be like Mark, or you can be like Carolyn here in Madison. Carolyn, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
Hi. Industrial hemp. Wisconsin used to be famous for, oh, the ropes and cloths and paper and plastics and all kinds of stuff that was made out of industrial hemp. And instead of all these cornfields, it's like every little town could be specializing in some kind of cloth or something, you know. It could open up a whole lot of business. I wonder if WMC would help fight to just legalize this stuff, along with regular hemp, of course.
Yeah, that is an excellent point, Carolyn. We appreciate your contribution here on Town Call on this Monday afternoon. 844-967-2789. You can be like Carolyn and Mark. Give us a call. Contribute to the conversation. Send us a text. Because, yeah, protecting Wisconsin's image of farmers, there are things like legalizing hemp that would be able to.
I'm big on the hemp train. Amen, Carolyn. Amen.
Yeah, and I'm not familiar with WMC's position on hemp either, Carolyn, so I would have to look into that a little bit, but unaware right now of where their stance would be. I have a general idea, but unaware of the
official. I can take a guess what it would be, yeah, but let's maybe play it safe and figure that out for sure
I don't know how the CBD industry here in Wisconsin finally got the ball rolling behind it. I don't know if WMC had any effort in that, but there has been some strides made in being able to have that sector be grown in recent years, but there's still limitations on it compared to our neighboring states. So we appreciate that phone call. You can be like Carolyn, 844-967-2789, talking competition in agriculture and food here on Town Call on this Monday afternoon. You can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. Town Call is going to be right back.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for sunshine and a high near 83. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 59. Mostly sunny with a high of 86 on Tuesday. For Tuesday night, slight chance of a shower, otherwise mostly cloudy, mid-60s. For Wednesday, scattered thunderstorms, otherwise mostly sunny with a high of 88.
Currently, 75 degrees.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
My daddy spent his life looking up at the sky. He cussed, kicked the dust, saying, son, it's way too dry. The clouds up in the city.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking market consolidation, particularly in regards to competition in the agricultural industry. We're going to go to the phone lines again. We got Bill from South Milwaukee on the line. Bill, what are your thoughts on anti-competitive practices?
Well, I just want to add a slight correction. There is a fourth cereal maker, Quaker Oats, which is now, of all things, part of Pepsi. But Pepsi bought them out basically because the biggest single thing they did was make Gatorade, and Pepsi wanted the Gatorade, and they took the cereal business too. So there are four.
Bill, I have to laugh. That's hilarious. During the commercial break, I was telling Luke, I went to look up the numbers. According to
he wanted 2017, to see Bill, he wanted to check to see if I was accurate on who was the distant third, and then he found tidbits.
No, I just wanted to see approximately what they reflected. It was, as expected, Kellogg's at the top, 30%, General Mills at 29.9%, then Post Holdings at 18.9%. But Quaker Oats was right there in 1, 2, 3, fifth, actually, behind private label, which could be a number of corporations together. Quaker Oats
at
6.5%.
Could be making it, yeah.
Right. And then I found a piece from Yahoo Finance from a few months ago on the illusion of choice, three companies dominating the cereal aisle. And it noted PepsiCo in fourth. And I was joking to Luke, I didn't know Pepsi got involved in the cereal industry. And then, bam, Bill jumped on and showed us why. That was actually the Quaker Oats move. Well done, Bill.
Well, thank you. And by the way, WMC, this is not the first time of them talking out of both sides of their mouth. I mean, here they were actually in favor. There was the effort to expand the engineering school at the University of Wisconsin, and they actually came out in favor of it. But when the Republicans in the legislature that basically, WMC wishes their command, when they didn't go along with it, I guess you never heard anything more.
Flipped overnight.
We appreciate the phone call, Bill. It's interesting to see how when the quote-unquote one of the largest priorities for the UW system was backed by a conservative-leaning organization, that's what was, or at least the lobbying arm of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, donates overwhelmingly to Republican candidates here in the state of Wisconsin. They did not have any sway over those same Republican lawmakers, including it in the next two-year budget here in the state of Wisconsin. You can be like Bill, 844-967-2789. Very similar to Quaker getting the honorable mention when it comes to discussing the cereal market, Will. You have an honorable mention for a story that you wanted to make sure we got a chance to talk about here on Town Call on this Monday afternoon as well.
I did, and before I jump into that, Luke, I do want to note that market concentration was noted by a study by the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, who found the U.S. economy to be 50% more concentrated these days compared to 2005 alone. This is only getting worse and worse and will continue to get worse and worse if nothing is done about it. So
glad to see Attorney General Josh Call joining the other 31 attorneys general across the country and working to crack down on anti-competitiveness.
Yep, one of 31. So the story, Luke, that I wanted to touch on that I think has to be covered is the Pride in the Park event from this weekend in Watertown, when an out-of-state neo-Nazi group descended on Watertown from Ohio, I believe. The neo-Nazi group called the Blood Tribe was there to protest the event. And I think it's really gross, frankly, that we can't even have public events in our public parks without having to worry about out-of-state agitators showing up and trying to intimidate and scare and force people in their own communities to be afraid to be who they are. They showed up with weapons. They were, you know, they were marching. They were chanting things like blood, 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 waving the Nazi flags around. This kind of stuff is happening. This is not fake. Our communities are dealing with this, particularly when events like this occur. And I'm a little nervous, I think, for the state of Wisconsin going forward, if these type of individuals will be so frequently appearing. I will note, oh, go ahead.
It's not just the state of Wisconsin. It's the state of our civil dialogue as a whole, as a community, as a state, as a country. If the organizations that these groups are then associating them, because this organization that you pointed out from Ohio, not the only one to show up to protest this Pride event. But when all of a sudden your organization that is protesting is joined by an organization that has this view, and you are not disavowing that organization, you are saying that you are together in that counter protest then. And so it takes voices. And I'm not saying you can't protest an event. That is fundamentally American. Your right to protest is guaranteed in the Constitution. That is not the anti-American aspect. The anti-American aspect is taking the views espoused by a government and an ethos that we defeated more than a half a century ago. That we, the allied democracies, went to war against. And you see Nazi flags flying around in protest of these events in communities like Watertown. If you're not disavowing those organizations, even if you don't agree with the Pride, even if you're there to protest the Pride event, which again is your constitutional right, if you associate yourself with those organizations, you are just as bad as those organizations then. It is going to take all of us disavowing those most heinous views, like neo-Nazis, to be able to get it out of the dialogue, Will. And as soon as somebody shows up to a counter-protest as a neo-Nazi, that becomes a neo-Nazi counter-protest.
Yep, exactly. No, spot on, Luke. I think it's interesting that someone wouldn't reflect, I think, on their... If you're the one who is, quote-unquote, on the side of what the neo-Nazi hate groups are supporting, you might want to take a look in the mirror because you might be on the wrong side of history in that regard. And as you noted, there were a couple of groups who showed up to this, including Gays Against Groomers, which they did release a statement denouncing the Nazi appearance at the Pride in the Park protest. Was that done after the fact just because of public attention that the event was receiving? I don't know. But either way, if we in our communities want to be able to have these safe and fun and free and enjoyable camaraderie building events, we have to be able to expect safety. And it's grotesque that some of these individuals would be showing up with this platform.
Yeah, it needs to be disavowed. And the fact that an organization cannot just hold their event in Watertown and they have to deal with this heinous speech, because that's not protected speech, in my opinion. That's heinous speech. And I'm glad to see that nobody was harmed and the event continued on after they left. But again, this is something we got to be talking about as well, along with the anti-competitiveness. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart to heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit theripen.com/disclosure.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.